Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and you know who has come with me tonight, don't you?
Hi, everyone. This is Richard. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Richard. I'm so glad you were able to show up.
Well, it was a challenge, but, you know, I had to fight my way through the snow, but here I am. What can I say? Snow in October. I can't believe it. There you go.
Well, that's not unusual to have snow in October in Maryland.
Is when I've been here.
Well, we do have snow now and then. Anyway, my friends, if you get the newsletter that we send out and you're signed up at our website, Richard, in case there's some people on the line who haven't signed up to get our newsletter and find out who's on the radio show, where would they go to sign up?
Well, they'd probably go to the 2020, let me try that again, the 2012countdown.com and enter their name and email address at the top or bottom of any page they happen to fall on.
That's good to know, because we send out notices to our friends, and it's really great to know who's going to be on the show tonight. And I have been very curious about Pythagoras because our understanding is Pythagoras is an incarnation from a soul monad.
Nomad. He's widely traveled. That's true.
That's true. He was widely traveled. Along with Balthazar. I'm trying to think of the...
Master Katumi?
Master Katumi, yeah. And St. Francis of Assisi. And St. Francis of Assisi, if you were listening last week to the show, he was on the show last week and gave some interesting information because he carried the stigmata, which were the wounds of Yeshua. And the reason was that he was one of the early, you might say, souls that were created. And that is why he worked with the incarnations of Yeshua, who came forth from that soul monad. I've got a blank here. What was the soul monad of Yeshua?
Yeshua? Marietta.
Marietta. Marietta was the first soul created and is responsible for opening and closing those long epics of Brahma. And this particular soul who sent particles as Pythagoras and these other individuals was created very close to that incredible time. And so that monad has been in great support of those incarnations that came forth from Marietta. And so one of the things that I'm very interested in tonight is how the different monads determine what their, you might say, fragments or those individuals that they send to Earth, how they make up this pattern as to what they will follow, how these individuals will incarnate, and what message that they have for the human race. So I want to trace some of that. I think this would be a very fascinating journey. And when Hildegard was on the radio show a couple weeks ago, she brought forth some very interesting information about cycles. And so when you are able to discuss such questions with these very advanced souls, it's just amazing the information that you get. So that is on my mind tonight. And Pythagoras, in case you're not familiar with him, he was quite an interesting individual. So he was born about 582 years Well, you might say before Christ, right? 582
BC.
BC, yeah. And that puts him in a very interesting time frame. And he was considered a mathematician, a philosopher, and he was important in astronomy, world history, and the Pythagoras theorem. So he has so much behind him that he brought into the world. We'll probably touch on some of this also, because he was truly an outstanding soul who came to Earth and brought great developments to the human race. And when you think of it, that far back is, to me, is just amazing. So what we do, for those of you who are familiar, Richard calls in the individual and he explains what their energy feels like to him. And we hope that those who are listening will feel this soul's energy also, because we ask you to look into the third, your third eye, and quietly call Pythagoras, and he will send you an image, or if you have an image of him already, place that in the third eye, and then place your awareness in the heart center. We have a lot of people who tell us that they feel the energies of the individuals who come to the radio show using this process. And so, Richard, if you would be kind enough to call on Pythagoras and then tell us what his energy feels like to you and how you discern it.
Yes, he's here. And how I experience his energy, again, I've mentioned this kind of spectrum that I experience. Where I experience him is a little right of the heart center, not very far away from there. There is a very powerful love aspect that I experience in this individual. But there is this sense of discipline and, you might say, precision about him. And it's almost like I can feel that very powerful aspect that brought forth those mathematical understandings and the geometric understandings and so on that were part of his work. It's like that soul in some sense carried those particular skills to be able to bring this forth. Very clean and clear and strong energy. It's a masculine energy. And a real preciseness, a real strong definition to it is how best I would describe it. Very clear, strong energy. Very interesting.
Thank you, Richard.
And it's it's like trying to give descriptions to wine, this stuff.
I suspect that Pythagoras had a glass or two of that too.
Well, they made wine on the island he came from. In fact, I understand they still do, though. If it's anything like other Greek wine that I've experienced, it doesn't rate very high on the wine agenda, but nevertheless.
Oh, they drank it. Oh, and I suspect that he has a particular message for you and me and for human beings at this juncture in Earth history. So what might he have to say to us, Richard?
Let's see what he has to say. He's saying he has a very clear message for us, because there is so much that is not understood about me and what I was doing. Firstly, this is because there is nothing that I wrote that has been preserved. And a large part of this is that there was very little of what I was doing that I actually personally wrote. And there were a number of reasons for this. However, before I go into that, I wish to provide a little context for my life. Your history, in a sense, records me living in what you might call a very early time from the point of view of the development of things like science and mathematics and geometry and the understanding of harmony and so on. And it's important to recognize that whilst your history records your, in a sense, linear projection, linear development, if you will, of sciences and mathematics and so on, and views my time as being very early. In truth, what I was doing above all else was to bring back into that time some of the knowledge and wisdom and understanding that existed in prior times, in the times of what you call Atlantis, though of course it was a culture that was spread around the planet. And in that time there was tremendous understanding of mathematics, of astronomy and astrology, which for all intents and purposes was really the same thing back then, and so many other areas of what you might consider scientific knowledge and understanding. And all of that, for the most part, was lost to the general public with the fall in Atlantis. Yes, there were some known as the Magi who carried that knowledge forth, but they kept it in a very secret form. And what your world continues to deny is the ability of a soul to do what you are doing here with me, and that is to connect with other souls, or indeed other aspects of one's own soul, one's own monad, if you will, to bring forth information from other dimensions. And this was something I was very able to do. There is reference to the mystical, the metaphysical aspects of the Pythagorean school, if you will, that I established. And indeed that is so, because I was teaching those who worked closely with me to master the ability to communicate beyond this veil that exists around this planet. And so a key aspect of my mission in that time was to reintroduce, if you will, some of that lost knowledge. And so I don't see myself as bringing forth new knowledge in that time, rather providing a bridge, a stepping stone, if you will, for its return. And it is said that the school, if you will, that I set up, perhaps more accurately a community, involved a great deal of discipline and structure and indeed secrecy. And that is so because I wanted to ensure that the information that I was introducing to others was held in a very tight manner, so that it could be grounded in this current consciousness and others could then take it forth in their own way and really seed so much of what blossomed forth in later times, particularly in Greek philosophy and understandings. And so you might say I was sowing the seeds of what came forth later with individuals such as Socrates and Plato and so on, and indeed others that filled in the bridge in time between my time and their time. And so my mission fundamentally was, as I say, the return, the reintroduction of some of that knowledge and wisdom and understanding, the understanding of sacred geometry, which for the most part had been lost from those earlier times, the knowledge of harmony, the understanding that creation of all things has at its heart rhythm and harmony and mathematics. And this knowledge was being shared within that community to form what you might consider a beachhead for it to flow forth in later times. And there were others besides the Greeks who picked this information up. There were groups who studied my work from many other places. Quite a bit of my work was picked up, for example, by the Essenes, who studied my material because they were able to gain access to it. And this also fed into that background of understanding that was in place for when Yeshua came forth. So in a sense, my work was also forming a base, if you will, that would inform the Essenes as they prepared for the time of coming forth of Yeshua. And so I, as I say, do not claim any great skill or ability or great mathematical knowledge in a sense. I simply was acting as a conduit to bring that knowledge and wisdom and understanding back into my time so it could feed down through time into not only those Greek times, but indeed in a sense down into your time. So that is how I view what I was about in that time, really feeding those seeds back into human consciousness as this reawakened expression of humanity gathered momentum.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your message. I truly do. And something that you worked in so many different areas, music, mathematics, some of the mystical information, and there seems to be a common link between all of this is that it seems to me there are different forms of vibration. Do you care to comment on that?
As you will understand, all that exists is brought forth from vibration. Matter, as you see it, is essentially formed from standing waves. And so vibration is at the heart of everything, at the heart of all of creation. Even the fundamental background energy consists of vibration. And so you might say mathematics is at the heart of everything. And it is simply a matter of how that is expressed. Mathematics is at the heart of sacred geometry. It is at the heart of music. It is at the heart of fundamental shapes. Many people have spoken about how the golden mean continues to show up in so many areas of creation on so many levels. And so you might say vibration is at the heart of creation, and hence it expresses itself in all of these various areas, in geometry, in mathematics, in music, and so on. So yes, it is a very common thread that flowed throughout what I was doing, and indeed it is part of what is involved with connecting within, because you are in a sense changing your vibration, you are changing your connection to be able to connect and bring forth information from your higher aspects or indeed other beings. And so vibration absolutely was at the heart of everything that I was doing.
Thank you. And for a soul to be able to do such work, bringing in information from the other side, as an example, remembering past lifetimes, does the soul have to advance to a certain vibrational level before they can do these things?
Past life history, if you will, certainly helps to inform a given incarnation. However, perhaps more important than that is, in a sense, the power of the soul that has come forth, the number of soul particles that the soul holds. If a soul is going to come forth in a time, you might say, of ignorance and bring forth new wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, then you can expect that that soul will carry more soul particles than the average soul will do. It's difficult to speak about an average because they vary, but it is, in a sense, the commitment that the monad makes to an important mission, such as the one I lived in that lifetime, where additional soul particles are sent forth. There is also the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the monad itself, which contributes to all of this. So there are a number of factors that are involved.
That's fascinating. Thank you. I didn't realize that the monad sent extra particles to important lifetimes, so to speak. And I don't know if that's answering a question that I had. You mentioned that a lot of this information was available in the time of Atlantis. And your work, to me, was so outstanding. I'm wondering if you had a lifetime in Atlantis and this was information that you remembered that you were bringing forth, or were you channeling from the other side from individuals who had that knowledge?
Yes, I had more than one incarnation in the time of Atlantis. I was deeply involved with the preparatory work that went on to bring forth the Atlantean form and so much of what was expressed in Atlantis. And to some degree, I am sure that that experience informed me in that incarnation as Pythagoras. However, my primary focus was connecting through my higher self back to my monad and indeed bringing forth the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that was held within my monad. This was my primary source of information. And, of course, it carried all of that understanding.
Thank you. You're so fascinating to chat with. And I have a lot more questions, but we have a caller on line 3, Beverly. And we'll see what she wants to ask you, Pythagoras. Beverly. Hello, Beverly.
Yes. Hello.
Hello, dear. You have a question?
Yes. Yes, and I thank you so much, Pythagoras, for taking the time. My question is, do you have a connection at this time with the one that we know here as Master Janus?
Master Janus?
Yes.
In other words, were they from the same monad, I guess, is what you're asking, right?
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh. Richard, did you hear
we know
that
him
here?
Here?
I did. From my understanding, who is it that you call Master Janus, Beverly? Who
that's,
is that? In
that's as we know him in this time, and he passed from this world in 2003. But he has written of a former lifetime with you, and I don't know what his name would have been called back then at that time. And I'm just wondering if you can make that connection.
Okay.
When you say with you, do you mean with Richard?
This time.
No, you mean with Pythagoras.
With Pythagoras, okay.
Yes.
This individual is or was a reincarnation of one who worked with me in that time. This individual is not a reincarnation from my monad, but had an understanding of the work that I did, and indeed he did in that lifetime. So he was indeed drawing forth from that past life experience in what he was expressing.
Thank you, Pythagoras.
He expressed a connection in Italy with you.
You may or may not be aware that I spent time in a number of countries, not only on my home island of Samos, but in other areas, and including time in Italy. And
I see.
This individual not only spent time with me in Italy, but indeed in my time in Greece after I moved from that island of Samos. This was not collectively known as Greece in that time. I use that term for your broader understanding. And so he worked closely with me, not only in Italy, but elsewhere.
I see. Well, thank you. Well, he was my life partner in this time.
Ah.
And and he talked of you.
He remembered. Thank you for your question, Beverly. I appreciate it.
All right.
And
thank you.
And you're welcome, dear. And then Teresa is on line one. Teresa, do you have a question for Pythagoras?
I certainly do. Hello, Pythagoras. Thank you for joining the call. I remember our time together and as the Oracle in Delphi getting trained by you. It was very, I just love you so much. You always helped me so much. And I'm wondering what advice you have now that in the current time, the date of 11/11/11 is coming up, and we need help with teachers and your great wisdom again. What do you have to offer and advice do you have for us?
The people are in place to provide the necessary leadership as events unfold in your time. 11/11/11 is an important date. Numerologically, it is powerful, as you will understand, and indeed there have been similar dates acknowledged over the last few years as you have approached this time and indeed approached that time at the end of 2012. And so 11/11/11 is a powerful date, as was 10/10/10 and 9/9/9 and so on, and indeed 12/12/12, as it gets very close to that key date, will be an extremely powerful moment. And so what I would say to you about 11/11/11 is that you could call it an activation point, a point where the powerful energies that have been building up upon the planet over the last two or so years in particular will be amplified greatly. So much preparation has been undertaken with the energies that have been sent, and this moment will be like turning on an amplifier, if you will, for those energies. They will become much, much more intense, much more focused than they have been up to this moment. And so expect great change to truly emerge beyond that date. Not that there has not already been change, but change in a sense has been fragmented and you might say diluted in its expression leading up to this time. But as you would recognize, 11-11-11 represents a little over a year to run to the end of 2012, to that December 2012 solstice. And so it is important that these energies, the preparation that needs to be undertaken, are amplified, are brought into much sharper focus. And indeed, this date you might look at as being the trigger point where this intensification will occur. And so this is perhaps the best way to view that date. It means other things to other individuals also, but for me this is the most critical element of what that date will bring. And so, as I said, the leadership is in place. There simply needs to be some key triggers activated, you could say, some unfoldings to begin upon the planet. And when that begins, the necessary leadership will begin to step forth, and you will understand a lot more about who and what that leadership is as that begins to unfold. So do not be concerned. There is a lot of fear in the broad community about this challenging time. And those who have some spiritual awareness and understanding have a great concern about how things will unfold, how humanity will be prepared. And I will say to you, do not be concerned. It will all unfold in manners that at this moment would surprise you. And so it is.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the question, Teresa. Mm-hmm. Now, dear Pythagoras, I understand that numerology is a very powerful element, as astronomy. And what my question revolves around numbers. You just brought forth information about 11-11-11. Why do these string of numbers, whatever number string you're looking at, but let's take as an example 11-11-11. What makes these numbers powerful?
Repeating numbers carry a resonance that is specific to them. There are many writings about the significance of particular numbers. 11, as you would understand, is the number most readily associated with mastery, though there are other related numbers that also express mastery, such as 22. However, 11 is the number most recognized as the number of mastery. And so when you have that number in triplicate, you might say, in this triple form, so it is an intensification of that characteristic. And you might say that this date is triggering the coming forth of the mastery of the plan that has been put in place for this time. It is claiming its power over the events, over this consciousness, in a manner which has not been executed thus far. And so this is but an example. And there are some who have studied the disciplines of numerology that I practiced and taught. And indeed, there is a great connection between numerology and astrology, because again, the positioning of the planets and the constellations and so on, all are positioned in a numerological way. Some have spoken of the gear wheels in the sky, and there is much truth to that. There has been a growing understanding of the power of the precession of the equinoxes, for example. There's a broad background driver for the unfolding of consciousness on planet Earth, and that is a very valid perspective. And some of you understand that indeed that date at the 21st of December 2012 is an expression connected to that processional process. And those who have taken the time to study ancient myth and folklore have recognized that there are patterns around the world within those ancient myths that talk about the power of myth and indeed how it is recording, in particular, the process of the precession of the equinoxes and how it impacts the unfolding of the development of humanity and the process of world ages and how that unfolds upon the planet. So this numerological understanding indeed is extremely important. There are resonances that connect to when an individual was born. And again, these connections intermingle with astrology because they are all part of the same spectrum, you might say. They are just different ways of accessing the same background information and understanding.
Thank you for your most complete answer. And you might have answered this. The next question that I had is the connection between the numbers on Earth that we experience, such as 11, 11, 11, and the movements of the planets in the sky, and astrology, that connection. It seems like these are three things are all connected together, but does this number become powerful because it's bringing in the power from the cosmos, from the movement of the planet? Are those two things linked together that makes it more powerful? Is that where this is coming from?
It is a complex spectrum. All that you have spoken is true. But in addition to that, there is an understanding of the power of particular numbers as they arise within the human experience. You might say 11, 11, 11 is a creation that arises from the Gregorian calendar. In that sense, it is simply an artifact within the human experience. And yet, beyond that, it is acknowledged by those who would bring forth change upon the planet, beginning with All There Is and many others in the spiritual hierarchy. And so it is a dance, you might say, between what is unfolding in the human experience and that broader spectrum. The existence of 11, 11, 11 within the Gregorian calendar will not change the positioning of the planets. That indeed was defined, as you might imagine, well before the Gregorian calendar was ever a thought in anyone's mind. And so there is a complex interplay at work, and there are energies sent forth by those who are shepherding, you might say, these changes upon your planet. Energies that will acknowledge this numerologically significant, numerologically powerful date. So it is a complex picture with many factors involved.
Thank you so much for your answer. And we're talking about the complexity of this. Are these elements somehow connected to the energy that runs through the earth, which some call telluric or the grid lines? Is there a connection between where you might be on earth on one of these energy lines and these other factors that you're discussing?
There is not a direct connection per se. However, it is true that if you wish to work powerfully with energies that might come forth through a particular gateway, such as this 11-11-11 gateway, and I will also mention that that gateway is very closely aligned with the full moon for November, which intensifies the energies of that moment. I would say that if you wish to work with these energies most powerfully, it is useful to connect with the telluric energies as you describe them, coming forth from key points upon the planet. And some of you will understand that these key points, for example, in parts of Europe, were well understood a long, long time ago. They were used by the Druids, and today there are Gothic cathedrals and other churches built on many of those key points. And so today, what you have the ability to do, if you wish to work with these energies as they come in through this gateway and seek to intensify the effect of these energies, because that is what you'll do if you meditate and intend to draw these energies through your body, ground them into the planet. It is also powerful to visualize yourself wherever you are as being, for example, in somewhere like the cathedral in Chartres in France, where there are such powerful energies of this nature, and intend that those energies coming forth from under that cathedral indeed come forth where you are on the planet, because you have that ability now to do this. And so by intending that those energies flow in through your lower chakras into your body and combine with the energies from the cosmos, then indeed the experience and the effectiveness of what you are seeking to do will be much more powerful.
Thank you so much, Master Pythagoras. You've brought so much wonderful information, and I want to thank you for coming, and thank you, Richard, for bringing this forth. No one really understands the amount of energy that you use to do this. I know all too well what it means to you to be able to bring this forth. And we have one minute here. We're up to the very end. I don't know if you can give anything of interest.
I think you're running. What time do we need to finish? It's sort of 2:15, if I see it. Are you running a few minutes early?
I've got 9:44.
Okay. Cool. Sorry, your question was, is there something I wanted to raise?
Yeah, in 1 minute. Besides thanking everybody for listening, was there something on the drawing board that you want to discuss real quickly?
There's nothing that's jumping out of my mind. I must say, one of the most exciting things, which in a sense connects with what Pythagoras was speaking about, was the information that we've been working on with from the Knights Templar, which will be a while before it comes forth because there's so much that it contains. But, for example, his mentioning that the energies that come forth in Chartres is something that this work talks about, and the understanding of really who the Knights Templar were and what they were doing. Again, I see some parallels between the way Pythagoras was working, where he was very secretive. His key information was not written down, but indeed was shared by those key individuals at the center of his community, if you will. And the Templars worked in a very similar way. Their key information was never written down. And this is why there is so much speculation and misunderstanding about who these individuals were.
Richard, we're right up to the minute, dear, and I hate to break into your because, but we're going to have to take this up next week. And so thank you for being here and doing your magnificent work. And we thank all of those who are out there listening to this. We try to bring the most information to you that we can. Good night,
well,
thank
you, Carolyn, and thank you, Pythagoras.
Yes, indeed. Good night.